looking back at 2011, what were some big issues for the Indian River Citrus League?
One that stayed on the plate for the entire year was the good agricultural practices. The league and the packers worked jointly to develop a working paper for all fresh fruit growers in the state to help them down the road of complying with good agricultural practices. And we just finished that process. It's now up on our website. It was a huge joint team effort, much like the BMP process, to ensure growers have a good roadmap and one that's at no cost, no increased cost to them to comply with all the issues they need to comply with to ship their fruit to the world marketplace.
Indian River grows, I know, some oranges for processing, but it's known primarily as a fresh grapefruit place, isn't it?
Yeah, about 50% of our acreage over here is oranges. So orange processing is still a big piece of the pie, but what makes the world go around with the 20 packing houses and most every grower is the fresh fruit market, and particularly the grapefruit market.
How about looking ahead at 2012? What are big issues for the league?
Well, I think we're going to continue on a tangent, so to speak, on that good agricultural practices. We're seeing that more and more companies are looking to ask for their own audit, be it a big buyer of produce or a big market or a big company in Europe. So a packing house or even a processing plant now are being asked for audit and where their fruit comes from. And so you have to comply with multiple audits, 5, 6, 7 different audits. So we are now going to sit down with the industry, Florida industry, and with also with our buyers and with other states to see if we can come to a common audit, maybe after the United Fresh Fruit audit template that they have or USDA's audit. But it's spiraling out of control, and it would be a huge cost savings to have a unified audit for all growers that allows them to have a cost-effective way of getting their fruit into the marketplace. Another one is water issues. We are still working hard on water farming and a reconnection of St. John's in South Florida at the St. Lucie Indian River County line. So that's going to be big.
Define water farming and reconnecting the two districts for us, please.
Yeah, water farming is an item that we want growers to have in their toolbox or a tool in the toolbox, where if they have fallow land bought because they pushed some groves to a canker or greening, and they haven't decided whether to replant yet. As you know, there's 150,000 acres in Florida of abandoned groves. Well, maybe those grove owners, to stay in, quote, some kind of farming, in other words, keep that area green, might be enter into an agreement with the water management district to hold water on their property if it's suitable. And 2 or 3 foot depths can hold a lot of water. And their agreement with the district, you know, all of the East Coast and the Gulf are very, very flat, and which would be very conducive to water farming, where if you decide, the Neff family decides that their 1,000 acres, 500, it was so riddled with canker and greening, we're going to wait a while until the new varieties come out of the bulletproof varieties. If we can hold water and get paid for that as a quote, environmental service, the districts are interested in that, to pay for their service. And they wouldn't make a lot of money, but it would be a carrying cost for their property, for their taxes, and the movement of their water to hold that land for those landowners. So it's a very viable tool with a very good future, because the state of Florida is out of water. We found in the last drought that there was no more available water with our current water supply for the cities of West Palm, Miami. I mean, all the big cities were in days of running out of water. Water farming could provide billions of gallons of water, if designed right, for the future cities of Florida and the current burgeoning cities we've got growing in state Broward, Palm Beach County. You know, it's a no-brainer. We can provide it cheaper and easier than any other water source known, that, like RO plants, desal plants, anything else. A cost per gallon is multiple times more expensive than what a landowner could produce water for on a per gallon basis.
How about explaining that reconnection of St. John's and South Florida water management districts?
Yeah, that's a more of a regional issue. The water farming is a statewide issue. All growers that have parcels that could be put together to hold water could benefit from that. But the reconnection is an East Coast issue, because water on the East Coast from Northern Martin and St. Lucie County wants to flow north, but because of roads and canals and the turnpike, it was blocked. And is forced to go to the intercoastal waterway, and we lose that water every year, and we want to reconnect the districts so that water can flow north-south along the East Coast rather than east-west, and that water can be saved for ag, for the St. John's system, for the South Florida system, for the environmental systems, because each day we ship the tide just over some of the weirs. Just one weir, we estimated on a flow with a flow meter, 120 million gallons goes to tide every day on just one of the canal systems, and there's four or five big canals. So you're talking about billions of gallons of water going to tide that could be saved for rehydrating the soils and the ag areas and the cities that need it downstream. So we've got an opportunity to do that, and I've got people now supporting this. So I've got every city and municipality in the East Coast and county, they've all signed resolutions in support of this, and all the ag entities have supported this. So it's just a logical reconnection. If you read the old archives, Indians just outside of Indiantown, just north of Indiantown by about 10 miles, used to be able to canoe from there all the way out the mouth of the St. Johns River in Jacksonville. Water wants to go that way. We just want to let it happen and not go to tide where it's lost forever and hurts the Indian River and St. Lucie River systems.
Any other big issues? I'm sure canker and greening are big on your radar screen.
Oh, yeah. A lot of my effort, like Mike Sparks and everybody else's efforts, are looking for funding. I get task funding to help for the quick stop gaps. And the league has found $2.4 million out of task grants to help quick fix issues due to canker and greening. You know, we're pitching in, doing what we can to get funding from any nook and cranny we can find in Washington or Tallahassee. We're also looking at working very closely with everybody, all segments of ag, on reducing regulatory burden on growers. I'm working with the Secretary of DEP's Herschel Vineyard's office and with Putnam's office on ways to reduce the regulatory red tape on packing houses and on growers, on reducing the number of water samples they got to take or pump data that they every month have got to supply to the agencies that's, they just put it in a box and put it away, and yet you got to pay for it. You're just trying to bring some common sense into the regulatory burdensome issues that face packing house owners and growers. We've gotten some definite traction on some very important issues, the packing house and the grove level, and why we have people willing to listen to us. We're going to try to make that happen. That's been a big, quiet issue I've been going to Tallahassee on with a number of people, Richard Kenny of the Packers, Peter Chairs, and we've been working with the Farm Bureau on some other issues. So it's been a team effort to reduce some of the regulatory burden facing growers and packers.
I'm Ernie Neff. You're listening to Southeast AgNet.